This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, are you ready to receive today? The Church of Living Waters is about hope. You heard in the prayers today, everything that we do, it's about hope. And hope is Jesus. Let me clear that up just quickly. There is no other hope other than Jesus. So anytime you hear me say hope, we understand hope, but hope is Jesus. So we're all about Jesus. Amen. We're all about hope. And you know what comes into us is Jesus and hope, then we are healed. And this morning, you know, God is calling me and speaking to us. We've been talking a lot about unity. And we can preach many messages, and we have preached many messages about unity. But there is an impossibility of unity if you're not whole on the inside. It's almost impossible for you to be one with your own self if you have emotional wounds and you are scarred on the inside and you have not let God come alongside of you and bring hope and healing. Amen? Many times we're able to see people that need healing. Maybe someone that comes in with a limp. Or maybe someone that comes in and they can't see. Or in a wheelchair. And we know automatically that there needs to be healing. It's easy to see healing when it's needed in the physical body. Our physical pains, the headaches that we have, our hurts in our body. And we come many times and we ask God, and we many times think that healing's just for the physical body. But healing is for our whole body. Not only our body, but for our soul. And many times God comes in and he does healing and no one ever knows about it. Because he comes and he does healing from the inside out. And many times our outside, our body, what needs to be done in our body, it has to start from the inside first. So God wants to start working with us on the inside, bringing hope to us and healing us. And then when we receive that healing, our body heals up. Come on. So sometimes you come up and you want to receive healing for your body, for aches and pains, and God is wanting to say, I want to go much deeper in you. You continue to call out on me and you receive me as healer and you allow me to come into those wounds that are on the inside of you and you will be healed. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about fear. God has brought me into this, speaking very clear to me about this ministry, about this season, about this time. So next week, we're going to have a mighty time. And if you have fear in your lives, you will be set free of fear. I can boldly proclaim that because I boldly proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, if you allow him to set you free and be released and be free, you will receive that freedom. Fear is tormenting. The word says that that fear is not of God. And that there's any part of you that is fearful, then it's not of God. Perfect love casts out fear. But this morning we're going to talk about the root of fear. So you ready to receive this morning? Just for a few minutes, I believe that people are going to be set free. We're believing for unity in this place. But how can we be unified if I'm double-minded? If I'm double-minded, I'm unstable in all of my ways. If I can't be unified within, there's no way I can be unified with my bride. And if then me and her can't be unified, it's impossible for me to be unified with more than just us. So God starts with me. And he says, Darren, for you to be unified and for you to do what I've called you to do, you must be healed. You must be healed from the inside out, where then you cannot be double-minded and you can be stable and you can have unity within. And then you can grab your wife's hand, and as she's been healed, then you're unified together. Then we can come together. We didn't have a huge argument this morning. We didn't have one yesterday either. It's not saying we don't have one, but we're pretty unified. We're believing for God to come into this city and for him to use me and her as vessels. And so we stay away from all the other stuff. And we ask God to be the rock of our relationship. And we believe that as he's the rock, then he will lift us up and we will be able to be lifted up among men and women. And they will see us being unified and they will see God. Amen? A lot of words. The root of fear is rejection. And it's hard to trace this back, but I'm here to say that always, if there is fear in your life, right before that fear, there's an area of rejection that's in your life that God is wanting to heal this morning. So if he can get to the root, then he can clear up the fear that's in your life. And I want you to hear this morning. I'm going to speak very boldly, very clearly about this devil of rejection. Because God wants us to be free. And free people, free people. Amen? Hurting people, hurt people. Offended people, offend people. I can continue. But we are free people, and we want to be around free people, and we want everyone in here to be free. And this morning, we want to go into the root of rejection, and we want to stand up. And we want God to heal us. We were all born with rejection. Come on. I'm speaking to everybody here today. We were all born with rejection. Let me just clear that up just to start us off. We were all born rejected by a holy God. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it, Pastor? I want you to stay with me and listen. Because we were born sinners, guess what? We were separated from God. We were all born in sin, sin nature. And because of sin, there's separation. If you have not received Jesus Christ in your heart today, in your life, sin has separated you from God. God cannot even come to you because of the sin that's in your life. All of us were born in sin. Every one of us were separated by God, and every one of us felt that rejection. We were created, we were made with communion, for communion with God. And when we were born, the very first of our being able to be alive, we had rejection. We were born with a sense, with rejection. Let me read some scriptures just quickly, and you don't have to turn to these because I'm going to go really quick. We'll turn to some here in a minute. 1 Samuel 15:23, if you want to write them down, you can. Because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you. Hosea 4:6, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you. Genesis 4:7, God said to Cain before he killed Abel, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And let me just stop right here. We cannot by ourselves do well. I'll say it again. We cannot by ourselves do well. We have to get that understanding. If you do well, you will be accepted. Here's the problem. We could not do well on our own. That's why he sent his son Jesus. Jesus' first message here in his hometown, he speaks in Luke chapter 4, verse 19, and he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Along with other things that he said, he was speaking out to his home city, his hometown, about the acceptable year, that this is the year, that this is the time of the Lord. It is now the acceptable year of the Lord. We can accept God, and guess what? He can also accept us. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the time of salvation. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We can be accepted in the beloved. The only cure for rejection, are you ready? The only cure for rejection is the acceptance of God. It's the only cure of rejection is knowing that I'm accepted. Every morning I get up, and one of the first things that I think is that today I'm accepted by God. He accepts me for just who I am. You know, I remember a time in me and my wife's life where I wanted her to know everything about me. I just knew that I didn't want to hold anything back, everything about me. Here's who I am, here's who I've been, and this is what God is telling me to go for. And you know, sometimes just sharing everything about you, you know, there's some restraints. I don't know about you. But to her, you know, sharing them and me watching her responses and, you know, then going a little bit deeper and me just sharing my life with her. And when I'm finished, she looks up at me and she says, you know, I hear all of that, but I still love you. I went to bed that night with a smile on my face, felt accepted by my wife. She's accepted me who I am. Everything I've done, she's accepted. And I lay down on my head, my pillow, and I feel the Spirit of God speak to me. And Him speaking and saying, she's not the only one that's accepted you. I know even the things that you didn't even tell her. Come on. And I sent my son to die on a cross for you. And Darren, I want you to always know you're accepted. I'm here to tell you the only cure for rejection is to know the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That is the cure. There must be, thank you, brother. You know that I'm going to be preaching hard today if I'm sweating already. What is it, November and I'm sweating? And my wife's sitting there just perfectly not cold today. Isn't that amazing? Most of the time she's freezing and I feel okay. We flipped it today. She's going to be okay and I'm going to be hot. But I'll choose to be hot for Jesus. Amen. The only cure for rejection is to be accepted by God. I want to just share a few funny things. But I want you to also know that there were some other things in my life that caused rejection. The enemy loves to be able to push a button and us just shrink in rejection. I remember I had a youth pastor that was just an on fire youth pastor. I praise God for youth pastors. And you know, I love camp. Man, I just love going to camp. And every year we would go to camp. And you know, there was always that one time at camp where we all made it right. Come on. If you've been in church and youth camp, you know it's just that one time we all come together and it's like, I see you, Roberto. I was thinking about you when I was thinking about this today. Me and Roberto had some good times at camp. Praise God. But there's that one time where it's just okay. We're just laying it all down and we're making it right. And we're going to go back and we're going to catch our school on fire for Jesus. Come on. And you know, maybe it just fizzled off. I don't know. But I had a youth pastor who was always looking for these things for us to think about. And, you know, symbols and all of this stuff. And so it's always about youth. It's always about fire. It's always about camp. And so we are around the fire. And our youth pastor stands and he says, you see that fire? That's how I want each one of your lives to burn for Jesus. And this was a time in my life where I knew I was being called in the ministry. But it seemed like everything that I was doing was wrong. Everything I tried to do in ministry, or everything I was trying to do, and I was just young, that I always just fell down on my face. And so he said this, I want you all to go out into the woods and get a stick. And I want that stick to represent your life. Come on, can I just share today? And so we're going to throw that stick in the fire, and it's going to be how you're going to burn for Jesus. So I'm like, okay, here's my chance. I'm out in the woods and I'm looking for the best stick. I'm like, y'all go over that way. I'm going this way. I saw some good sticks the other day. I'm looking for a good one. And I saw way back down there, it looked like a staff. It was such a good stick. I mean, this could have been maybe the one Moses carried. It was like perfect, you know. So I go way deep in there and I get it. And I had to go a little longer. And when I get back there, I always have already had the sticks in the fire and it was burning. And so I got my staff. and I'm going to get ready to put it in the fire. And so I go up and I throw it in, and my stick hits a rock, and it hits another stick, and it rolls down the hill into the lake. You know, there's always two in youth ministry. There's always this guy that's like a commentator. And it's like, did y'all see Darren's stick hit that rock? Then it hit the stick. Then it went into the water. Darren's stick is not on fire. There's always this guy that's doing that kind of stuff. You know, his stick is cold, not fire. And so, you know, the youth pastor asked me to go down and get my stick. And I'm just feel terrible, you know. And I come back, and so he's allowed me to put my stick back in the water. It's wet now, you know, and I'm like, this isn't fair. So I look for a place in the fire, and I found a real prominent place in the fire. And I'm going to stand my stick there, and I put it there where it's not going to fall. I almost, like, touch fire because my stick's not rolling down anymore. Put it there, and I stand back. And do you know my stick never caught fire? Commentator saying, look at Darren's stick. It's not on fire. Everybody else's is burning. His stick isn't. And we stand there until almost the fire is completely gone. And the thing that's still in the fire was my stick. There's no fire, but there's my stick. And my youth pastor goes and he looks at it and he says, you know, Darren, this looks like it's petrified wood. And, you know, the enemy just, you're just going to be petrified in the kingdom of God, you know? I'm like, I want to be hot, God. I want my stick to burn. And I'm telling you, we're going to laugh about that. But how many times the enemy came to me and he says, everybody else is burning, but yours isn't. Remember, it fell in the water. We're laughing. The next year, my youth pastor just had all of these amazing things. And so, I don't know, because I haven't had a banana split in a while, but at Dairy Queen, they used to have these little banana split carriers, and you could get a top on it and take it home, but they look like boats. Anybody ever play with a banana split Dairy Queen holder? A boat. So my youth pastor had these Dairy Queen holders, and in the inside of them, he put wax, and he had a candle sticking up on the thing. And, you know, this is cool. He would come up with these ideas. It'd be like, what's he going to do now? But in my life, it's going to be whatever he's going to do, I'm going to try to make it the best where I can burn this year. And so what we were going to do, there's a candle in it. We were going to light the candle, and we were going to walk it down to the lake, and we were going to launch it into the lake. And, you know, on the other side of the lake, there was a burning fire, a cross. I'm like, man, I got the best youth pastor ever. You know, how could he do all of this? Get all of this ready for us just to be a light. And so I got a match and we're lighting the candles and everybody's lit and mine keeps blowing out. You know, that little, my candle's wick is just like an eighth of an inch. I'm like, why did y'all do this to me? It just keeps burning, blowing out, and I keep lighting it. Everybody's walking, they're putting their boats in, and mine's just not even lit. And so we get down to the lake. Is it okay if I share? And the youth pastor, you know, he's netting the hook. I mean, he's getting us ready. And boy, he's just kind of like a little preach. And so what I did is Daniel's here. I pulled out my switchblade, the one I got on the youth mission trip to Mexico. And I made my wick stand out. And, you know, so my wick is, like, extra long. And when I light that thing, it's like, whew, you know, like, boy, my wick is just like the fire is this long and everybody else's is real short. You know, I had to be careful because it's going to burn me, you know. So I take mine, and people are launching their boats. And it seems like when they launch it, it just starts floating to the other side, to the other fire. I'm like, man, I don't know how the youth pastor planned it. It's wind. It's all kinds of stuff. He just has it all together. God, let my boat float to that fire. I need it. I got the flame going. So I reach down there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it a little push. But when I pushed it, it started going the other way. Here comes the commentator. Look at Darren's boat. It's going away from the boats. It's going away from the fire. There was a time that me and him had a real good discussion, you know. So we stand back and he's saying all of it. It's getting further away, Darren. Your boat's going way out there. And you know, I had to take my candle out of the wax to get the wick going off of it. And so when I stuck it in, my candle actually fell over in my boat. My boat caught on fire and it sunk. Look at Darren's boat. It's on fire. It's sunk. I'm sure thankful that all of that did not hold me back from bringing fire to the kingdom of God. I share those little things like that. But if the enemy was pushing me with little things like that, there was greater things that he was trying to do in my life. All of us here are going through, even now, you've even been freed of rejection or you're going through rejection. And it's the key way that the enemy comes to us and through us. And for us to have communion with each other and for us to be in communion, in relationship, covenant relationship, and we are able to be, as the Word of God says, sharpened with each other and be in unity, we have to get this rejection thing down. Come on. Because if you have rejection, how can you go to a brother that's offended you? And how can a brother come to you that offended you? Do you know rejection is crazy? Rejection also can look like pride and arrogance, but on the inside, completely rejected. Let me move forward here. The Word of God says, let me read a few more scriptures. Isaiah 53:3 says this, he was despised and rejected. Mark 12:10 says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Luke 17:25, but first the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. If there was someone that knew rejection, Christ knew rejection. The deepest bruise that can be inflicted by Satan, our enemy, is rejection. When rejection enters a person's life, he or she is deprived of love, security, acceptance, identity, and recognition. These are the five basic needs of the soul. Let me say them again. Deprived of love, security, acceptance, identity, and recognition. When they are cut off, a person cannot develop emotional maturity. The result of rejection then is always crippling. There are degrees of rejection, and the enemy is able to afflict with loneliness, fear, insecurity. Now, you heard me say fear. Next week, we're going to handle fear. But the root of fear is rejection. The root of depression is rejection. This is a root of so many things that are constant in our lives that God wants to come into and he wants to set us free from. And the way that we're set free of rejection is acceptance. Come on, I'm gonna just nail that in. Because if we can't love ourselves, we can't receive the love that God has for us. If I cannot love my brother, I can't love God. And all of us are set up not to do that when we're rejected. Because we have to then put on a wall and we can't allow people to get close to us. Many times we reject people before they reject us. Because they're going to reject us in the future. So let's go ahead and get this going now. I know I'm speaking to someone today. Multiple people here. These are like poison infected, injected, and infects us into individuals. And what it does, it comes into our emotional system. No man or woman was made to live with rejection. Our system will not sustain it. We were made to be loved and to be accepted. Look to someone next to you and say, I was made to be loved and accepted. I was created for love. I was created to love. You don't have to keep going. I want to look at six results of rejection. I'm going to go through this really quickly, but I want to just bring this message into the foundation of this church because this was many, many years of preaching about rejection in Church of Living Waters. And my father was set free from rejection. I remember my dad coming up and just really speaking out of things that have happened to him. Losing his father at 21. Never ever heard his father tell him he loved him. Was disciplined by get away from me. Leave me alone. Disappear. Go. Get out of my face. Those types of disciplines create rejection. To walk away from a father that's doing that, to walk this way, to get out of his face, and then to have the enemy come in and say all the things that he wants to say. He was based in rejection. And God created a love where he could be accepted by God. And in that acceptance, we were able to see my father set free from rejection. And I want to tell you, because I'm second generation, I had to fight rejection out of my life because it was rooted into my family. My father's dad was not even able to use the word love. No telling what happened in his life. No telling what happened. No telling how the enemy has come into my family and has caused the pain of rejection to be in our family. But I had a father that stood up and said, I will not stand to allow this to be in my life anymore. I will receive Christ and I will receive his acceptance. And for me and for my household, we will see a change in this. And I'm a second generation. I had to make a decision that I will receive acceptance. But the enemy tried to jump over my father and come to me. I'm speaking this because I can stand and I can be set free of rejection, and my children are being set free as I'm being set free. Do you believe that? It doesn't matter how old your child is. It doesn't matter if they're married, they have children, it's still your child. And still the enemy loves to work from generation to generation to generation. There's still a list that I have, Ismo, that I'm being set free of, that I'm being healed of. And the number one concern in my heart is that these do not pass through me to my children. They will stop here. I had a father that stopped so many things, a first generation Christian that stood up and said, no more. I remember my dad at a Thanksgiving meal, brought all the family together. Peggy and Kenny were there. And said, before we have a meal, we are always thankful. But he stood up and he said that every one of our families has one child that's addicted to drugs or alcohol. And look at all of the little children around us. We have to be crazy not to think that the enemy's going to try to jump in and he's going to grab these children. We have to put a stop to it, and the stop is today. And with authority. Before that meal, I was already smelling the dressing. I was smelling the turkey. But my dad said, no, we have to do something first. We have the whole family here today. And first of all, we're going to make this right unto God that he's not going to be able to get into this little generation. And the ones that he was able to get into, we're praying for healing. We're praying for God to come into their lives and to be set free. No more. God is looking for a man to stand up and say, no more. Let's look at six results of rejection. Rejection results, the first one is emotional immaturity. Emotional immaturity. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. I've met so many men of God that were so emotional immature. It wasn't that the gift that they had was immature. They could get it and they could preach and they could see people come to Christ and they could do all kinds of things. But when they stepped away from that pulpit, they were so emotionally immature because of rejection. And they would not allow anybody to be their friend. They would step into the pulpit and step out and get into the office and not meet with anybody, not talk with anybody because of rejection. And those people find themselves very lost in this world. Because why? Because we were made to love. We were made for relationship. We were made for communion. We were made to come into the body. We were made to see people come and be set free. We were not made to be rejected. Spiritual immaturity. We can look at that in some of our lives. Every one of us can see these kind of things. And if we're spiritual immaturity, and what that is that we can stand and we can do it for a few weeks, but then we fall off. That there's nothing sustained in our lives. That we go this way, and then we stop, and then we go that way. It's good while we're going, but for some reason it just falls off. And God has called us to be constant. God has called us to continue, to grab the baton and go straight, not to go to the right, to the left. And we must be spiritually mature for the battle that's in front of us. Rejection calls us to be immature. And it allows it to be about us, about me. What are they saying about me? What are they talking about me? And the enemy then loves to come in and he loves to push a button and we just shrivel up and then we just feel lost in this rejection. The second thing is rejection will create an emotional vacuum that no person can fill. I'll say it again. Rejection will create an emotional vacuum that no person can fill. Rejection causes a person to try to get one person to fill that vacuum. They'll connect to one person and no other person they'll connect to, but they try to just drain out this person with everything they can do to be filled up, but they will never be filled. You see, many times in our lives, and Wes and Jennifer do a great job with our young people, but you especially see this in young girls that have a vacuum looking for love. And in that in their lives, they have not received something. They've broken down with something of the Father, the love of a Father coming into their lives and saying, honey, you are accepted no matter what. You're accepted to have a father. See, God called us to be dads and to be fathers and to be able to speak from what God is saying and allow our voice, our real voice, to speak into our children what God is saying. And I'm telling you, you would not believe what it means to speak into your daughter and say, honey, I love you. I will fight for you. And honey, you're accepted. You wouldn't believe what that does. You wouldn't believe what it does to your son to say, son, I am proud of you. Proud of you. You make me proud. Those words that speak so strong, but if children did not have those words from a father and from a mother, boy, then the enemy tried to jump in and he tried to do all kinds of things. And you see young girls especially that have a vacuum that try to fill that vacuum up with any kind of love that they can find. Anywhere. Come and fill me up. Come and fill up this place in my life that's so rejected. I'll take anything, but it will never be enough. Only Jesus can do that. They become controlling and possessive in that one relationship. It is their love line. A lot of men have a great situation with rejection. And they grab onto their wife and they say, it's only me and you. You're my only friend. I don't need anybody else. But God wants us to have others. Amen. And there's been a time where my wife would say, go out and do something. Go do something. Do you have any friends? Go find some friends. I'm telling you, if you grab onto something and you don't let go, it's suffocating. Come on. Are you receiving today? I'm almost finished. We're going to pray here in a minute. I really believe that God's going to identify this root in our lives. And God has shared and showed me that people will be healed today. And as we come into the service next week about fear, many of you have already been healed because you've dealt with rejection today. And it's a walking out. It's a knowing of the acceptance of God. The third thing, rejection results in loneliness and fear with walls. Built to protect from further hurt. These walls are dual purpose, to protect the person wounded by rejection and to protect the individuals from being hurt by that individual. The fourth thing, another result of rejection is self-rejection. The person loses his or her self-value and may live with self-hatred. I can't look in the mirror at myself. I love others, but I can't love myself. I hate myself. See, church, we have to understand and know that we have an enemy that's trying to take trying to take our brothers and sisters, trying to take our children, and he loves to come through with rejection. That's his entrance into our lives because of why we were rejected, because of sin nature. And until we're accepted, until we receive Jesus and we're accepted, the enemy loves to use all the stuff that's happened. Also, for so many years, we've been so free with our mouths, so free with our tongues. Come on. That we can cause so many people so much hurt and so much pain just by our words. If someone has a difference, don't you think they know about their difference? Why do we have to have that commentator that's always reaching out and saying what the differences are? I don't want to be used by like that. You know, one of the reason that this message is on my heart so strong is because this is the message that I taught to John all the time about. Because John felt so rejected by people. And this message, I would go over this message point by point by point into his life. Because he was different, he would tell me. And people just don't understand me. I love them, but they don't know that I love them. They think I'm trying to do something. And he was called all kinds of names in this world. And we would always come together, and I would always speak to him about the acceptance that he has from God, the acceptance he has from me, and the acceptance he has from Church of Living Waters. Now, that's healing right there. If you have it from God, and you have that acceptance, then you have the acceptance from a pastor, from a family, then you have it from your church family. See, Church of Living Waters, we should be very careful with our mouths. We should be careful and know that we'll be held accountable for every word that we say. You know, a lot of times we can say, and we feel this, when someone comes to me and they say, this is just for you to pray, then I'll say, hey, be careful, is this about you? Because if it's about someone else, I really don't want to hear it right now. I want to be careful. Or they'll say, you know, they'll say something and then they'll say, oh, I was just joking, just joking. It's kind of like just saying just joking was like an excuse that I can say anything that I want to say and just cross it out by saying I'm just joking. Come on, I'm getting real now, aren't I? We have to get the enemy of rejection out of here to be able to become unified, to be able to reach the city. As people come into this flock, come into this place, they will be covered with rejection. It might not look like it, but the deepness of what it is, that's the root of it. And we will receive them just like they are, and we'll encourage them that they're accepted. The fifth thing, a loss of self-identity. This causes the individual to be a thermometer rather than a thermostat. Without a strong sense of self-identity, an individual will go along with the crowd, becoming what those around them want them to be. They lack the ability to transform or to change the atmosphere of their self, their life space. And, you know, that's something that I always want in my life. I don't care what's going on around me. I want to come in and I want God that lives on the inside of me. The same God that lived in Christ lives on the inside of me. And I want the atmosphere to change. So if I'm going into a family, into a home, it doesn't matter what's going to go on in that family. I'm bringing Jesus with me. And Jesus will come in and change this atmosphere. I'm not going to be moved by circumstance, by situations. Many times I just need to close my eyes and say, Jesus, you're here with me. I know it. So come on, let's change this atmosphere. God has called us to be transformation. God has called us to transform. The root of rejection causes us, our self-identity, to leave. The last thing that I want to just share, and we're going to wrap it up here. The sixth thing, an unstoppable up and down relationship with God. Rejection causes an unstableness relationship with God. Up and down. Up and down. 1 month sitting on the front row, 2 weeks sitting on the back row. I'm not against front row, I'm not against back row. So wherever you're sitting, I'm not even looking right now. But you should not be unconstant up in the front for prayer and then not show up for 2 weeks, back 2 weeks, the root of that many times is rejection. God wants us to be constant. He wants us to be stable. He doesn't want me to run real fast and then stop and go backwards. He wants me to remain steadfast. That's what God has called this ministry, steadfast. That maybe we're not going to move so fast, but we're not going to be moved. No matter what's going on around us, we will stand strong. And when we take a step, we'll take a step together. And when we are able to take a step together, the city and the county will know about it. So we're not trying to run. I'm not out in front of you running 15 steps and then waiting for you. I'm with you, grabbing your hands, saying, okay, are we ready? Father said we could. Father, may I? Let's take that step. Boom. The city shakes. There's some steps in front of us that God's calling us to take together, arm in arm. It's for the city. It's for God's people. God uses people for people. He's wanting to use Church of Living Waters to reach the city of Rosenberg and Richmond. He wants to use this church. We must have rejection completely set free of rejection. We must have spiritual wounds that are in the inside of us, emotional problems, situations. We must come to hope. We must come to Jesus, and we must get set free. Unconditional love and total acceptance by God is outside of the understanding of those who suffer from rejection. Such will not risk having any weakness exposed, so they will go from ministry to ministry when teaching touches their area. They will continue to come, they will continue to go, they will not be steadfast. God's calling us to link hands. If you know of someone that I'm talking about, sometimes it's easier to point. Sometimes it's easier. God has called us to pray for those people, especially people that God has touched in ministry. And maybe they've been around you. Maybe you've seen God move in their lives and you see God's hand on their lives, but then they disappear and you don't see them for a few weeks. I'm telling you, in that disappearing, the enemy is after that person through rejection, and he wants that person to stop completely. And God has called us to rise up and say, no, that's my brother. That's my sister. I will stand with that brother. I will stand with that sister. And we will see the enemy of rejection leave this place.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.